1967 Southern Baptist Convention. First, here are excerpts taken from the report of the convention executive committee, Porter Ruth, chairman.
Now, if you will turn in your bulletin this morning to recommendation number 13, and we should like to vote on this now in order to expedite time and before you turn in your green card. Recommendation number 13 is that the 1972 convention be held in Philadelphia and that the messengers decide between the dates May 22-26 and June 5-9. Mr. Chairman, we perhaps ought to break this down into two parts because we want you to punch a card on the date that you prefer. So I'd make a motion that the 1972 convention be held in Philadelphia. We could vote on that, and then we could ask you to express your preference for the date on the card. I so move, Mr. Chairman.
Motion is that we meet in Philadelphia, 1972. Do I hear a second? Motion made and seconded. Any question? Any discussion? Are you ready to vote? All favoring the motion, lift your hand. Opposed by like sign. It is carried.
And now, Mr. Chairman, if you prefer the first date, May 22-26, punch out number one. Number one on the ballot, number one. If you prefer the date June 5-9, punch out number 2 on the ballot number 1. And now I would like for you to turn in your book of reports to page 3, where the report of the executive committee is given. And if you will read this carefully, you will find a list of the major actions which have been taken in accordance with the bylaw provisions of the executive committee during the past year. There are 59 members of the executive committee. These are pastors and laymen from your churches and from your states. They represent you. Mr. President, perhaps the most important or one of the most important recommendations which will be brought by the executive committee is recommendation number 3, because it has to do with the allocation of cooperative program funds which you provide through your churches and through your stewardship to the worldwide program we're seeking to develop, to bring men to God through Jesus Christ. To bring this is the chairman of the program committee of the executive committee, Brother James Plights of Florida.
Brother Chairman, we recommend that the 1968 cooperative program allocations be divided: $200,000 for the convention operating expense, $13,018,000 for the Foreign Mission Board, $4,600,000 for the Home Mission Board, $225,000 for the Annuity Board, the seminaries to receive $4,403,000. And you have the breakdown on this money. The foundation, $67,000. The hospital, $36,000. The American Seminary, $90,600. The Brotherhood Commission, $235,000. The Christian Life Commission, $125,000. The Education Commission, $110,000. The Historical Commission, $95,000. The Stewardship Commission, $83,000. The Radio and Television Commission, $1,085,000. Public Affairs, $111,400. The total to be $24,484,600. The capital needs allocation in 1968 to be $2,216,000 for a grand total of $26,700,000. And you will note that all in excess of this amount be distributed 2/3 to the Foreign Mission Board and 1/3 to the Home Mission Board. Any unmet capital for 1968 to be given priority in 1969 capital funds. And, Mr. Chairman, I move the adoption of this recommendation. You hear the motion? I hear a second. And it is before us. Is there a question? Is there anyone representing an agency who feels that you have received too much money? If so, we'll be glad to make adjustment. Any question? Any discussion? If you favor this recommendation, will you lift your hand? Opposition by like sign. The motion is carried.
Mr. Chairman, recommendation number 4, Leroy Parker, North Carolina, who has been chairman of the subcommittee on bylaws for the administrative committee.
Mr. President, messengers to the convention, you'll find this recommendation on pages 36 and 37 of the Book of Reports. And for you who do not have a Book of Reports, it perhaps would help you to know that the intent of this recommendation is to change the tenure of office for boards and agencies and even the executive committee from 3 to 4 years. We recommend that Article 6, Section 1, Subsection 3 of the Constitution of the Southern Baptist Convention be amended to provide as follows. The members shall be divided into 4 groups as nearly equal as possible, and 1 group shall be elected each year to serve 4 years, board members having served 2 full terms of 4 years shall not be eligible for re-election until as much as 1 year has elapsed. This shall also apply to the executive committee. If this action is adopted by the convention, we suggest that all agencies be asked to amend their charters in line with the action of the convention. Mr. President, I move the adoption of recommendation number 4.
Do I hear a second?
Second the motion.
Motion made and seconded that recommendation number 4 be adopted. Dr. Ruth, do you have a word?
Mr. Chairman, in the past, the seminaries have had 5-year terms for their trustees. The other agencies have had 3 years. Although this does not instruct the seminaries to reduce theirs to 4 years, it is the hope that in time they will amend their charters to have 4 years, then so that all will be on a 4-year term rather than part 3 and part 5. It has been felt by many that the work is complex in all of them and that there would be values in having a 4-year term for all of these agencies.
Now, this recommendation concerns an amendment to the Constitution.
It would have to be approved a second time next year. It would not be effective until then.
If this recommendation is approved this year and next year, then it would become effective. Is there any question or discussion? Microphone number 6.
I'm Frank Owen from Kentucky. I should like to move to amend Proposition number 4 by deleting that latter portion. I do not believe that to do so would change the central thrust of the recommendation, which changes board tenures from 3 to 4 years in all cases except the seminaries. But the seminaries are already operating, as Dr. Ruth has said, on 5-year terms. I believe they need the 5-year terms. All of us appreciate the intent and value of rotation, but tenures on seminary boards have dropped greatly in recent years. It has been my observation as a former seminary trustee that when we bring these men in from all over the country, once a year or thereabouts, it takes a trustee 2 or 3 years to become conversant with the seminary's internal affairs. It takes him 2 or 3 more years, perhaps, to gain rapport with his fellows and begin to dare assert himself. With an uninvolved trustee board, continuity and comprehension tend to reside too exclusively in the administration. I should like to move that we delete that latter portion, suggesting that all agencies bring their tenures in line, so that the seminaries may feel a little more nearly free to keep their five-year terms.
Thank you, Dr. Owen. I believe this motion is clear. You've heard him. Does it meet with a second? Motion made and seconded that the recommendation be amended as indicated to the effect that the last statement be deleted. Is there discussion further, or is there a question? Are you ready to vote on the amendment? All in favor of the amendment, please stand. I'll ask the secretaries to help me. Thank you. You may be seated. I don't need any help, but let's have the others to stand. If you oppose the amendment, stand. And the motion is carried. The amendment is carried. And the last expression of the recommendation will be deleted. Now, the motion as amended is before us. Is there further discussion? Are you ready for the question? Question is called for. All in favor of the recommendation as amended, indicated by the lifted hand. Opposition by the same sign. It is carried.
Recommendation number 6, Mrs. Raymond Davis, Tennessee.
We recommend that the convention operating budget for 1968 be as follows. Estimated income. Cooperative program, $200,000. Dividends and interest, $10,000. Sunday school board, $312,000. Total for estimated income for 1968, $522,000. Estimated expenditures. Convention expenditures, $75,000. Special committees, $20,000. Executive committee operating, $250,000. Baptist World Alliance, $90,000. Legal and auditing, $2,000. Building operating and maintenance, $14,000. Total operating for 1968, $451,000. Reserve, $71,000. Total, $522,000. Mr. President, I recommend the adoption of this recommendation.
Second the motion.
Motion made and seconded that recommendation number 6 be adopted. Is there question or discussion? Ready for the question? All favoring the adoption of this recommendation, lift your hand. Opposed by like sign. It is ordered.
Mr. Chairman, recommendation number 7, Charles Ryland, Virginia.
Mr. President, fellow messengers, I will present and read to you recommendation number 7. Has to do with bylaw 18, is found on page 37 of your book of reports. Now, the language of this, which you can see in front of you and which I will read, we will read together, adds a second paragraph to bylaw 18. Now, bylaw 18, as it's now constituted, provides for how and when a cooperating state is accepted by the convention for all purposes. Now, of course, we take in Baptist churches anywhere we can find them. But we take in states as units or state conventions according to the rules of bylaw 18. Now, nothing is changed in that first paragraph. Now, having accepted this new convention or these cooperating states, I read the second paragraph, which is proposed for bylaw 18. All such cooperating states having 25,000 members shall have representation on the executive committee and the four major boards. Automatic representation on the trustees or the directors of the other agencies shall be given when the members of Baptist churches affiliated with the Southern Baptist Convention and that state convention exceed 100,000. Each agency, with the exception of the executive committee and the four major boards, and except for those where the membership is specifically set by the charter or convention action, shall have five trustees or directors at large elected from states having 25,000 members but not having 100,000 members. The committee on board shall seek to rotate this representation from these states on the various agencies. This amendment shall not limit the term of any trustee or director currently in office, but he shall serve until the end of the term for which he was elected. Mr. President, I move its adoption and ask the privilege of making a word of explanation.
Do I hear a second? Motion made and seconded. Brother Ryland, will you please speak to the motion?
Mr. President, fellow messengers, some 22 years ago, when the Southern Baptist Convention, along with all Americans, came out of the World War II, we were ready to go, ready to grow, ready to continue our witness for Jesus Christ throughout the world. And we have grown in 22 years. We have grown numerically in our contributions, in our witness, not only in the states that historically have been the heartbeat of the Southern Baptist Convention, but we have grown so that now we carry on work from Miami Beach to Portland, Oregon, and from New England to El Paso, Texas. And that's fine. That's fine. But it creates problems of being able to properly handle the work of our commissions and agencies. Now, here's what has happened. A generation ago, when Southern Baptists started reaching out and taking in new states above the Mason-Dixon line, above the Ohio River, out in the great western states of this nation and in the Pacific Northwest, we decided that it would be proper for representation, because our convention was small, that when the cooperating Baptists in that state reached 25,000 in numbers, that then they would be entitled to representation on the boards of the institutions and agencies. Now we have been so successful, and so many of these states have been taken in, that now we find a very inequitable situation in existence. And so your executive committee, for the past 3 years, has had a special committee working on this problem. It just happens I've been a member of the committee. I've enjoyed this work. The committee has not been hasty in its decision. It has called in the heads of every institution and agency affected and had open hearings. It has called in the representatives on the executive committee from each one of the 10 states that will be affected by this. And we have attempted to bring a little better equitable representation. So, in order that the trustees and directors of these agencies will better reflect the majority opinions of Southern Baptists. Now, here's the problem. We find today that there are 10 states represented in the convention with 25,000 members but less than 100,000, and those 10 have a combined Baptist, Southern Baptist population of 535,000, or let's just say in round numbers, 500,000. 10 states with 500,000 Baptists. Now, on the other side of this scale, there are 10 states that have 8,315,000 Baptists, so let's call those 10 8 million. And so we have a problem of representation. Now, it's been said, and I speak a little ahead of time, that what we're trying to do is to enforce a one man, one vote. Far from that. Far from that. The inequities of the present situation is that there are 10 states that, for example, have equal representation on the historical commission, just picking out one of the commissions of the convention, equal to Baptists in 10 other states, who have 16 times as many Baptists. Now, here's what we propose, just very briefly. I don't want to take up too much time. I know there are others who've come here prepared to speak to the other side. What we propose to do, just very briefly, is to take those 10 states and say that you have automatic representation. We're not going to touch the representation on the executive committee, not going to change it, on the foreign mission board, on the home mission board, on the Sunday School Board, and on the Relief and Annuity Board. They are the Executive Committee and the four major boards. No change. But on the boards of trustees and directors of other agencies and institutions, we say it is fair and it is right that you alternate your representation. So instead of having 10, they would have 5. And when they reach the point where they have 100,000 cooperating Baptists, then they get automatic full representation. Now, brethren, consider this carefully. It is a matter that concerns us today, but will concern us even more, and it will be more severe and more critical as we progress and put work in more states.
Thank you, Brother Allen. I now recognize Brother Lewis from California, who will voice another point of view.
And I am from a state that this does not affect. We have 235,000 Baptists in California. If you give us enough time, we'll outdo Texas. But first of all, I would like to raise some questions as to what is behind this recommendation. Number one, have the men who have been serving from these states that are now affected not been functioning in a qualified and a worthy manner? Number two, are these state conventions too small to find qualified men to serve? I do not think so. Number three, if we adopt this recommendation, will this not be a breach of promise to these states who fall into this less than 100,000 category? They were told that they could be recognized and have full rights of participation when they reached the 25,000 membership. They work hard. They worked hard. They reached it. And now this recommendation proposes to take away these rights. What is to keep the convention from coming back at a later time when these states reach 100,000 and raising it to 125,000? We have been told that this recommendation will make for a more democratic procedure by restricting these smaller states from having the same rights as the larger states. But doesn't our Constitution even limit churches to no more than 10 messengers to this convention? Isn't this grossly unfair to churches like First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, and others with extremely large membership compared to our church membership of 700? To raise the requirements for full rights to 4 times the present number will not only break faith with these present states, but will be a discouraging and dangerous setback to these states who now have this 25,000 goal in sight. So unless, and I don't want to weaken my case with this statement, but I feel I must conclude with this. So unless this recommendation has theological overtones, I can see no real advantage or necessity for its approval. I recommend the defeat of this recommendation. Thank you.
All right, brethren, it's wonderful to be Baptists. Now let me recognize Brother James Monroe from Florida, one of our host pastors, and he will speak for the recommendation.
Mr. President, fellow messengers, as we consider this vital matter, I believe that there are 2 or 3 points that we ought to keep in mind as we make our judgment. Perhaps we should think of the purpose of a board of trustees as it relates to one of these agencies or commissions which are involved. The purpose of such a board is not to honor the men and women who are selected to serve, although they are honored, but the purpose is to select men and women representative of Southern Baptists all over the convention who are the best able to look after the business and the ministry of the particular board or agency which they serve. If such a board or agency becomes too large, then there is a problem in efficiency. It must be large enough to be represented, but not too large for efficiency. The larger boards become, the more expensive is the administrative expense of the institution or the commission, and the only source of that expense is through the cooperative program funds which we provide. We who have studied this matter believe that this is a fair step toward a solution to a problem that will be increasing in the years ahead. If in states such as this one, for example, we were to expect equal representation with some of these newer states, according to the present basis, we would have to have here from Florida alone 21 members on each of these boards or commissions. We believe that this proposal is a fair step in the right direction, and we will recall just this one thing as I close this remark. We are not a convention made up of state conventions. We are a convention of messengers, and this is a step in the direction toward the representation of messengers from wherever they may come.
Now I recognize Brother Moore from Indiana.
Brother President and messengers, all of us that are involved in these newer states are definitely interested in this factor. We are wanting to be fair about it. And let me suggest this for your consideration. I move you, Brother President, that this matter on Bylaw 18 be referred to the Southern Baptist Convention Executive Committee with instructions as follows on two points. One, that some form of orderly process be worked out whereby the agencies, other than the four major boards and the executive committee, not now having authorization for at-large trustees or directors, will be instructed by the Southern Baptist Convention to make provision for such, whether by charter change or convention authorization. Number two, that the matter of undemocratic inequities created by extra large numbers of board members, trustees, or directors forming the local boards for various agencies be studied with the possibility that these can be distributed even several hundred miles from an agency base of operation, with modern transportation being what it is. I present to you, sir, this motion.
Motion is made that this recommendation be referred to the Executive Committee of the Southern Baptist Convention with these particular stipulations. Do I hear a second? Motion is made. Do I hear a second? Motion is made and seconded. It is a motion to refer. Is there any question or discussion on the motion to refer?
Mr. President, Robert Alley from Virginia, I'm aware that a motion to refer is not debatable, but in light of the preceding activity with respect to the other recommendations, I would like to have the Executive Secretary, Dr. Ruth, to clarify this as well as he has clarified the other recommendations prior to action, if this is in order.
All right. This is a legitimate request. Dr. Ruth, will you come and make any statement? Keep it as brief as possible in the interest of clarification.
Mr. Chairman, I would think it would be better if the convention could decide whether or not it wants to refer this matter. I think this is not debatable. If they should decide to refer it, of course, we shall continue to study it. If the convention feels that you want to dispose of this matter, then I think, of course, you would vote against referring the matter, and then we could take some action on the substance of the motion itself.
I think the matter is fairly clearly before us. There are pros and cons on the original motion recommendation. The question is now, do we want to refer this matter for further study, or do we want to try to thrash it out and reach a conclusion either in adopting this recommendation or rejecting it in this session? We are about to vote now on the question of referral. If you're in favor of referring it to the Executive Committee for further study, you will want to vote for this motion. All in favor of the motion, please lift your hand. The motion to refer. Down, opposition, by like sign. And the motion to refer has lost. And the question is still before us. Is there any further discussion? We are about to run out of time, brethren. I want to request that you, if you have a new idea, bring that to us. And then I think we'll save time, all right?
Recognized for a motion.
Dr. Timberlake.
We who are in some of the former pioneer areas understand the problem that we have here, because we not long ago did not have the 100,000. We now have 235,000. But we understand also the fact that the older states feel that maybe the younger states are having perhaps disproportionate representation. I believe that there are fine men on both sides of this, and we want to keep faith with both sides. And I'd like to offer something which I feel, if we each give a little and take a little, may be of help for us to go on. And so I'd like to move that a more realistic figure be inserted instead of the 100,000. And I've talked to men from the various pioneer states, and they have assured me, without quoting them by name, that they would be much more willing to accept a figure, say 50,000, as full representation than 100,000, because some of these states may never in the lifetime of our convention reach 100,000. So I would like to move to amend the recommendation with the knowledge that several on both sides have said this may be an effective compromise, to the point that the word or the number 50,000 be inserted instead of the number 100,000 as something which may be acceptable to all of us.
You hear the motion to amend, substituting 50,000 for 100,000. Is there question or debate? I believe it is clear. The question is called for. All in favor of the amendment, lift your hand. All opposed, by like sign. Down again, let us stand. If you favor the amendment to change the figure, stand. Thank you. You may be seated. If you oppose the amendment, please stand. The chair is in question by the secretary. What is your observation? And the request has been made for a secret ballot. We're going to ballot now on the amendment. Secretary, give us instructions.
We will vote. We will use ballot number 2 in your ballot book. And you will use the column on the right marked yes or no. And you will notice that there's a little arrow pointing toward the left to the square opposite yes or no. So you will use those squares voting either yes or no, whether you are in favor or against the proposition upon which you're voting this amendment. And then please pass your ballots to the right, to the aisle, to the end of the aisle. Now, unfortunately, our ushers are in the room. We've just finished the other ballot, but I hope that they can hear and will come immediately with the buckets. And as you pass your ballots, if you'll please stack them with a little cut corner together, it will save us a tremendous amount of time in tabulating them. Thank you so much.
The amendment which changed the number from 100,000 to 50,000 carried. So now the motion before us has been amended.
Mr. President, Bill Smith, Keego Harbor, Michigan. What this body has done in passing the amendment has said, we'll cut you, but we just won't cut you deep. Time was not adequate this morning for hearing all the concernment on the original recommendation. A ballot has already been taken and determined the number change from 50,000 to 100,000. But I believe that this still is inadequate. I believe that we have men in all of our state conventions, Pioneer and all, who are adequate in education, in learning, and able to represent Southern Baptists around the world. And it is not stated for the large conventions to do this. I believe it would be an inadequate thing to pass Recommendation 7 with its amendment in any form.
My name is Roy Gresham, and I'm from Maryland. After the amendment has passed, this will no longer affect Maryland, but I believe the principle is the same, and it is for that reason that I speak to it. It hardly seems consistent with the history, with the polity, and with the spirit of the Southern Baptist Convention to say that because you're a small convention, that you must give up full representation on the boards and agencies of the convention. I remind myself that Southern Baptists have been a people of humble and small beginnings, and I trust that we shall never forget that our concern for the individual and for the small groups has in a great part made us what we are today. If representation is the major issue, the proposed change does not correct the problem. It does not give the larger states a greater representation. What it does, in effect, is to say that the smaller states, in some cases, can have no representation at all. Our past president of our convention said on numerous occasions that the cutting edge, the challenge of Southern Baptist, is in our new and our pioneer areas. And now that we're successful in reaching out in these areas, we want to come back with some limitations.
Mr. President, I move the previous question.
The previous question has been moved. If you favor the previous question, will you lift your hand? Down. If you're opposed to the previous question, lift your hand. The previous question has been called for. We are now voting on recommendation number 7, which has been amended only at the point of changing the 100,000 requirement to 50,000. And now the motion is before the convention. If you favor the adoption of this recommendation, will you please lift your hand? Down. If you are opposed to this recommendation, lift your hand. The chair is in question. We'll stand in a moment. If you favor the adoption of this recommendation, please stand.
Mr. Chairman, since it does require 2/3 majority, couldn't a ballot be helpful at this point?
Please be seated. Now, if you are opposed to this recommendation as amended, will you stand? The motion requires a 2/3 majority, and it doesn't have it. So it is defeated. I so rule.
Following next is the report of the Christian Life Commission. Foy Valentine, Executive Secretary Treasurer.
Nothing would please me better than for us just to stay right on time. I express to the convention my warm appreciation for your confidence in extending to me yesterday my annual call. The Christian Life Commission's report contains no recommendations, though it does contain a brief statement on perhaps the most crucial and critical issue facing human beings, the 3 billion of us in the world today. That section of the report, which has to do with peace, reads as follows. Extremely complex issues have thrust our nation into armed conflict in Vietnam. It is our profound conviction that as Christians today we must nevertheless reaffirm and proclaim those eternal certainties concerning peace, which are clearly revealed in the Bible. The boundless love of God for all men, the value of human life, the worth of the individual, and the prime importance of justice, mercy, and love in human relationships. In view of the precarious balance of terror which exists in this nuclear age, the waging of peace is a responsibility believers can evade only at great cost. The mandates of the Christian gospel, moreover, preclude our evasion of those problems which contribute to our dangerous predicament and make for war. While historical situations recur when war seems to be the lesser of two evils, it is generally true that men come to such tragic alternatives because they have neglected the things that make for peace. Christians do well to remember the words of Jesus addressed to a disciple trying to defend him. They that take the sword shall perish with the sword, as well as his great beatitude. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. The ideas and circumstances which culminate in conflict can never permanently be overcome with military might alone. Many factors in history have militated against the peace of the world. Some of the most obvious of these are totalitarian political systems which claim a monopoly on truth, the ambitions of power figures in expansionistic states, the great gulf between the rich and the poor, both within nations and between nations, and the conflicts based on race, color, religion, and class. We further point out the awesome implications for world order of the population expansion, which added last year 70 million to the human total, fending for existence on our planet. We must know that every major problem which threatens peace today will be brought to crisis proportions in the very near future by this relentless population increase unless solutions can be found to the problems of food and family planning. We believe that any hope for peace and stability in our world will require the creative and redemptive efforts of all Christians in removing these and other barriers to peace. It is not the Christian Life Commission's intent to make specific proposals about government policies, military strategy, or diplomatic approaches to negotiation with our present political adversaries. We recognize that there are vast differences of opinion among Christians about peace in general and about our involvement in Vietnam in particular. We do believe, however, that open discussion of these issues is desirable, and we strongly affirm that public debate is a great strength in our democratic tradition. Such open discussion and public debate are necessary if we are to achieve a sense of moral certainty about the course of our action. We are disturbed both by the large weight of world opinion, which questions the wisdom of our current policy, and by those here at home who doubt the patriotism of anyone who questions our government's present official position. As Baptists, we understand that the separation of church and state leaves the church free to speak on national issues and impels us as Christian citizens to give our very best thought to public affairs. While we do not claim to know all the answers to human situations, we believe that the conscience of our nation should be stirred by the raising of crucial questions. Is our present course the very best that our nation can find? Are there no viable alternatives on which negotiations can be based? What can be done to protect innocent people from the ravages of war? Can the role of the United Nations be strengthened in achieving peace with justice? Have we allowed national pride to become an impediment to peace? Has a military-industrial complex developed in our nation causing economic self-interest to become a factor in decisions relating to war and to the sale of armaments abroad? Is the ideal of peace being as diligently cultivated as it ought to be by a free and responsible people? In the light of these concerns, we now call to mind the Southern Baptist Convention's historic commitment to peace, including a petition in 1891, quote, to secure the universal substitution of arbitration in the place of war as a means of settling difficulties among the nations of the world, end quote, a resolution in 1895 calling for the establishment of a High Court of Nations to facilitate such arbitration, a 1911 convention resolution pledging, quote, that as Southern Baptists we'll talk up peace and talk down war, and that we'll pray God for universal peace, end quote, a 1955 recommendation that, quote, we raise our common voice in behalf of a strong and unfaltering pursuit of international peace, end quote, and similar expressions from Southern Baptists throughout our convention's history. The Christian Life Commission encourages the responsible leadership of our government to continue to pursue patiently every course that might lead to a peaceful settlement of international problems in general and of the Vietnam conflict in particular. We call upon all the churches not to be blinded by distorted appeals to false patriotism, so that they lose sight of the personal tragedy, the great sorrow, and the fantastic cost attached to the present conflict. A spirit of solemn penitence is in order. We urge all Southern Baptists and our fellow believers everywhere to unite in earnest prayer for peace and for renewed vision among God's people for the task of declaring and demonstrating His love to all the suffering peoples of the earth.
You have heard the report of the Christian Life Commission, and it will now be received as read. We are running a bit ahead of schedule. At 11:15, we have a special address, but I suppose there is no law against running ahead of schedule. And it's a rather refreshing thing in the Southern Baptist Convention. So, Dr. Valentine, let me recognize you again that you may make proper presentation of our special speaker.
Mr. President.
All right.
When would we have an opportunity to amend the report?
Do you wish to present a motion to our convention?
Yes,
sir. All right. Please state your name and identity as a messenger.
I'm Harold Coble from California. And I want to make a motion to add the following words to the fourth paragraph under the responsibility of Christians. And I'm making this, may I preface this remark simply with this brief statement, because of the interpretation that we have heard on the radio and in some of the newspapers. The additional words to the fourth paragraph. Sir, should I read this fourth paragraph or just the additional words?
Read what is necessary.
I shall read then the fourth paragraph because I think it will help you to understand what the motion is. The Christian Life Commission encourages the responsible leadership of our government to continue to pursue patient...
Are you reading from the report that's just been read?
Yes, sir.
We don't need that. You
All
tell
right.
us what you want to add.
All right. I wish to add these words. However, this is not to suggest the withdrawal of U.S. forces from Vietnam apart from a just and honorable peace. I so move.
Motion made and seconded. This is a main motion now because Dr. Valentine did not make a motion. We simply received his report as we have received other reports throughout this convention.
Here is a motion to the effect that certain words be added to the report. The motion is open for discussion. Motion is made that this motion be tabled. Do I hear a second? The motion is made and seconded that the motion pending be tabled. It is not debatable. If you favor tabling the motion, lift your hand. Down. If you oppose the motion to table, lift your hand, and the motion is lost. The main motion now, the pending motion, is to the effect that certain words will be added to the report. Microphone number 3.
I'm Elliot Herwire.
Please give your name again. We did not hear.
I'm Elliot Herwire from Virginia. Let me move this mic up where it can be seen. Mr. President, it is 11:15.
Please let me interrupt you here. According to the order of business which we have adopted, the special address is to begin in about 2 minutes. What is the pleasure of this convention?
My motion is concerning that matter, sir.
All right.
Out of consideration for both of our speakers, I move that this motion be made a special order to be disposed of immediately following Dr. Adams' address.
I would make this observation, and it is not my prerogative or intention to debate the question, but there are certain special functions immediately following the convention session today. Those functions do not necessarily intercept the proceedings of the convention. I simply make this as an observation. The motion is that this matter be made a special order following Dr. Adams' address. Does it meet with a second? Motion made and seconded. It's open for question, discussion. No, maybe no discussion. If you favor the motion to make this a special order following Dr. Adams' address, would you lift your hand? Down. If you oppose, would you lift your hand? We're opposed. Now, brethren, can you hear me? I've just heard you. Now, let's be in order. No loud talk, because you can't be heard when you're talking loud.
Mr. Chairman, I move the previous question. Second.
The previous question has been moved. Point of order has been called for. Dear brother, here is a report that has been made, and we have a motion now before us. There's been a motion actually that will add to that report. Motion has been defeated to table that report. We now have a move for the previous question. If you favor the previous question. The point of order, I believe, is well taken. We have not discussed the main motion. That's your question, isn't it? I believe I'll rule the move for the previous question out of order. We do have to have time for a proper discussion. The move for the previous question must follow appropriate discussion. The main question before us now is to the effect that certain words will be added to the body of the report of the Christian Life Commission. I recognize the brother at microphone number 2.
Well, that messenger from First Baptist Church of Stanton, Virginia. Mr. President, the matter which is now presented to us for action calls upon this body to...
I'm going to interrupt you again. We still... Will you give me this time just a moment?
Yep.
We have voted not to make this a special order after the benediction. That is, after the address of Dr. Adams. But I am bound to the order that is printed here, and we cannot entertain further discussion without authority from this convention.
I beg your pardon, brother, at microphone number two. Will the convention let me know if you desire to discuss this matter further? Otherwise, we move to the special address which has been ordered.
I move extend the time 5 minutes.
Motion's been made that time be extended 5 minutes. Second to the motion? All in favor, lift your hand. All opposed, lift your hand. The motion is carried. The brother at microphone two.
Mr. President, Carrington Paulette, messenger from First Baptist Church, Stanton, Virginia. The matter now pending before us is certainly the most divisive of any issue that could come before us at this time. It does not deserve to be dealt with in 5 minutes' time. And unless we can find a longer time in the program to deal with this matter, it seems to me it would be far better for us to vote down this proposition. That would leave us in the position of having received the committee's report without having stamped approval either on that or on any additional interpretation. I hope we will vote down this motion and simply receive the committee's report and let us continue to debate in our own churches these matters, which we are not really prepared to act on in 5 minutes here today.
All right, I recognize the brother immediately behind me who will give his name and identity as messenger.
Ernest White, St. Joseph, Missouri. I simply want to point out, in addition to what has just been said, that the addition which is made in the motion just made would stand in conflict with a part of the report which says it is not the Christian Life Commission's intent to make specific proposals about government policies, military strategy, or diplomatic approaches to negotiation with our present political adversaries. It would seem to me that this would be in conflict with this.
All right, Dr. Hobbs.
Brother President, I just want to make this one comment, and that is, this does not, in my judgment, change the body of the report. It merely clarifies a misunderstanding that is being put out through various press media.
I'm recognizing the brother at number five. I pointed to him that I would. I feel that in justice to discussion, I will. Please bear number five.
Alan Graves from East Baptist Church in Louisville, Kentucky. I should like to ask why the president cannot ask the Committee on Order of Business to set a time at a later business session for the discussion of this matter, as we have all other new items that have been presented without adequate discussion.
This is not a new item. It is in connection with a report which has been scheduled, you see.
I'd like to move, then, that it be referred to the Committee on Order of Business to set a time for adequate discussion.
Motion is before us to refer to the Committee on Order of Business. You can do as you like, you know, with a motion, but I have heard the motion to refer to the Order of Business Committee to set aside a special time for the discussion of this matter. Do I hear a second? If you favor the motion to refer, lift your hand. If you oppose the motion to refer, lift your hand. The motion is lost. Does the brother want to move the previous question? If you favor the previous question, lift your hand. Down. Opposed, like sign. The previous question has been ordered. Now, if you favor the motion to add these special words to the report, let's hear the words again. Is the brother nearby? The words will be read again, which will be added to the report if you vote for this motion. Microphone six.
Please, sir. May I ask that this item to which he is adding these words be read in toto after all? We need clarification.
I think the request is legitimate. Our time probably will allow this. The previous question has been moved. This is in the interest of clarification. I ask the brother to read the paragraph to which this special word will be added. We'll hear them both, and then we'll vote.
The paragraph is as follows. The Christian Life Commission encourages the responsible leadership of our government to continue to pursue patiently every course that might lead to a peaceful settlement of international problems in general and of the Vietnam conflict in particular. the additional words, however, this is not to suggest the withdrawal of U.S. forces from Vietnam apart from an honorable and just peace.
The matter is clear, I believe, now. It has been read. We do not need applause. We are now ready to vote. All right, discussion now is out of order. Discussion, the previous question has been ordered. Only clarification on the matter of a vote is in order at this time. All right, I put the motion. If you favor the motion, would you lift your hand? If you oppose the motion, would you lift your hand? The motion is carried. And time has expired.